All right, welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast, and we are here again with Gary Kim. This is Gary Kim 2.0. I will tell you, if you didn't catch the first episode, you got to catch it because we talked about 316 Publishing as well as one of their imprints, Steadfast Bibles. They published the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible, and it is a wonderful literal translation of the Bible. And it's the Bible is strong, it's powerful. We got to hear from Gary about the story, about all that. But we're actually recording at what's this church called?
Grace Baptist Church in Santa Clarita.
Sorry, Graced.
Graced.
I just said I have a hole in my mouth and the wrong words keep coming out. Okay, Grace Baptist Church, Santa Clarita. Mm-hmm. Used to be Newhall, actually. I remember it was Grace Baptist Newhall. I had a friend that was on staff here 30 years ago. Mm. It was Grace
Baptist Newhall. I've got a friend on staff here right now.
It's Santa Clarita. Same city, same location. It's amazing. And we're sitting here because my co-host today is Brian Bush, and his daughter, Sarah Bush, is on staff here. She runs this whole department. And basically, they let us use their amazing recording studio every year in the beginning of March when we come to the Master's Academy International Mission Symposium, TMAI, one of Grace Church's supported missionaries, as well as we support some of the individual missionaries as well. We support the organization. But anyway, I'm walking up today, and I see Gary, and he's got this thing. He's talking to someone else, and so I'm kind of waiting, but I'm looking, and I see his phone, but then I see, like, this appendage onto his phone that's more than a selfie stick. I'm telling you, it's something else, and I know because it's high tech. What is it?
Mike, it's just a wireless mic, and I am the least technical guy around. My kids could tell you. It's sitting on the table over there. Yeah.
But I wish we had this on video.
Yeah. Well, basically, you get on my phone. Sorry. That's a selfie stick, and then on my on my phone, you'll see the bottom. That's you plug it directly into your phone, and then there's like wireless mics. I have this in my pocket.
Maybe I'm just not technically advanced enough, but this is sweet.
Yeah,
I want to know.
You got
the wireless mic. Yeah. So, and I said, Gary, what are you doing? And you told me you had a project you're working on. Tell us about the project, and then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this year at the Shepherd's Conference, you know, Pastor John passed away and went home to be with the Lord in July. So I think they're taking some time to just remember and honor him for his faithful years of ministry at the Shepherd's Conference. And so we wanted to just talk to people because I know personally I have favorite Pastor John stories, but I'm amazed. I've just filmed maybe four or five people, and some of their stories are just so sweet. And it's not Pastor John from the pulpit. It's more of it. It's just Pastor John just meeting and spending time mm-hmm. with people. And you can tell he was a shepherd that loved his sheep because these people are like, this is my favorite memory. And you'll be surprised at what you hear them share. So it's just really fun. And I think it also just shows, it's just a living example of what pastors do when they love their flock. When they love their flock, what did they say, Mike? I think they said people won't care what you preach until they know that you care. And it's really that love, right, that makes such a huge difference. So,
and the fact that you grew up at Grace Community Church under Dr. MacArthur's pastoring and preaching, and that is really just a part of your life and a part of your background. And the rest of us, a lot of us, we were introduced to him by the radio. I know I first heard about him on the radio when I was a brand new believer in 1982.
Yeah,
he just came on during drive time to Long Beach State, and I'm like, wow, this. I need to keep listening to this preaching.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So you're going around and you're asking people your favorite memory of Dr. MacArthur?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's yours?
I have a number, but I think this one popped up. So it was my dad's, I believe it was his 60th birthday. And my brother John, he's also a pastor. He graduated from TMS. He was able to secure a room at Grace Church. And so we had the party at the church. It's like on a Saturday evening. Well, in comes Pastor John. He invited Pastor John. So Pastor John and Mrs. MacArthur show up and they're sitting there. And my son, Nathan, he's our oldest. He was, I think, about 5 years old or 6 years old. So for his grandpa, Nathan took Taekwondo. And so he has his form. So it's basically a demonstration where you throw punches and kicks. And he performed that for his grandpa at the party. And afterwards, he comes to the table. And Pastor John looks him in the eye. And he says this. He says, "Boy, I would not want to meet you in a dark alley." And it's just that little funny thing, but Nathan remembers that to this day. But as parents, you see Pastor John like care about little kids in that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many, but that one sticks because for me, it reminds me of Jesus when he would let the little children come to him, right? Mm-hmm. He just, disciples would say, "Jesus, you're too busy," or whatever. Yeah. No, he's like, "No, let them come to me." Jesus loved children, and I think that's an example of Pastor John following Christ by loving kids.
That's a really sweet story, really sweet. Brian, do you have one?
I do have one. We were visiting one of my daughters at the college, Masters University, and I think his wife was in the hospital at the time, but he shows up, and there may have been a basketball game, there was some event going on, and he was there with the students, graciously allowing selfies being taken, and was just so warm and personable with everyone who was there. Mostly he focused, though, on the students. It wasn't the other professors or the big wigs who you would see. It was, you know, he acknowledged them, of course, but he sought out students and asked them how classes were going, asked them how their time at the university was going, took pictures, shook their hands, and really cared. And I was able to observe that. You know, and as you said, as a lawyer, you watch people a lot.
That's right.
And as a pastor, you kind of observe people and how are they interacting with others. And I was so touched by that that I thought to myself, as you said, there is a true shepherd. There's someone who, with all of his education and knowledge and his fame and his great preaching, for him, being personable, being attached to and shepherding people was of a higher significance than being seen by others. So that really touched me.
I know I mentioned that in 1982 when I got saved, I was, you know, listening to the radio, Christian radio, and here's John MacArthur, and I don't know anything about him. Turns out the church I got saved at, Downey First Baptist, his dad, Jack MacArthur, used to pastor that church years and years earlier. So I guess John MacArthur and I went to the same church, you know, at different times, and the same seminary, because I went to Talbot before Masters got started, and so did Dr. MacArthur.
Yeah.
So, but then I remember Hume Lake, 1989, and I believe I had just graduated seminary, and Angela and I were dating. I don't think we were engaged yet, but we were dating, and I drove the bus. My buddy, I was the children's pastor at Downey First Baptist. My buddy, who was the college pastor, he says, "Why don't you drive the bus up to the college retreat on Labor Day weekend up to Hume Lake?" Because Angela was in the college group, right? And so I'm like, "Let's go." So I drive the group up there, and I find out, lo and behold, that John MacArthur is preaching at the college conference, Labor Day weekend, Hume Lake. But the rumble around the camp was, "Oh, this is going to be boring." I remember thinking to myself, these people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And he preached 4 or 5 messages on Psalm 19. They were absolutely, you know, solid gold bedrock biblical truth, but life-changing for me. And I remember just literally sitting there as he was talking about the names and the functions and the effects of the Word of God. I was literally sitting there drinking it in and just gulping from a fire hose and thinking, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And I was a pastor already. I was an associate pastor, you know, working with kids and stuff. I'm like, I just want to preach. I just want to preach. Like, because the way he engaged us. And people weren't that excited because they wanted the rah-rah camp speaker. And we were getting just meat and potatoes, you know, solid word. Mm. So I remember that. But then fast forward to about 2017, and my wife, Angela, and I got to be a part of this TMAI, I think they called it the President's Advisory Council. And we were like this group, they got together, and we talked about the ministry and supported the ministry and what have you. Well, they would have this like this little couples retreat, and there was, I don't know, 30 or 40 people at this thing. So I remember we were in, it was this neighborhood called Sherwood Forest. It's kind of, I don't know exactly what city it is, out there in LA, the Valley, whatever. And Dr. MacArthur and Patricia were there, and we had like this chef making all this food. Well, there's about 6 or 7 tables poolside outside. And so I'm walking out, and they're waving me over to the table, and they're literally telling me to sit next to Dr. MacArthur, to which I promptly sat Angela next to him because I was too nervous, which I know it's kind of silly, but it's true. And what was sweet was watching him talk to my wife throughout the whole dinner, and me as well, but he just really was just very engaging. But at one point he leans over to both of us and says, "I'll be back in a few minutes. Patricia lost one of her earrings." And he goes, "And I know exactly where it is." And he kind of had this like under his breath, he's like, "And I know where it is." So he goes outside, and I guess it had dropped when she was getting out of the car, and it was in the gutter.
Okay.
Right, you know, like right there against the curb. And so he comes back in about 10 minutes later and literally just goes, "Yep, exactly where I thought it was." It was just kind of hilarious. Then another, fast forward 2 more years. So when the UCLA basketball coach was good friends with the coach at Masters University.
Okay.
And so they did an exhibition game at Pauley Pavilion, Masters University against UCLA.
Yeah.
And this is when Lonzo Ball was on UCLA, okay? And the funniest thing was halfway through the game, it was at halftime, they were only up by like, you know, 20 at UCLA. And I'm thinking, they've got to be taking it easy on them. And so the second half was completely different. Mm-hmm. They just killed them, you know. But what struck me was 2 things. Before the game, underneath Pauley Pavilion, they had a dinner for some, you know, VIP sorts. I guess I walked in on someone's coattails and got into that thing. And I had brought my son and one of his teammates from the TMU cross-country team to this event. And Dr. MacArthur comes walking up. And first there was like the coach said something and this and that. And then Dr. MacArthur comes walking up to me and my son and his friend. And literally, it totally ignored me, as he should. He just zeroed in on the 2 guys. He goes, "Tell me what year are you at TMU? And oh, you guys just won GSAC again for the 9th time," or whatever it was at that point. And just the interest he took, he did the same thing at halftime. He walked over and went to the student section and just spoke to the college students over there at halftime. And that kind of care, you know, that kind of heart that was showing through just puts it right up there with, here's his preaching that is so solid. And this guy is, you know, known around the world, and that he has time for the college students at the school that he's the chancellor.
No.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Anyway, pretty sweet. How many are you going to get of these interviews, and what are you going to do with it?
Well, as many as I can, because I think they're just little gems, and I think we want to post it on social media, hopefully just to encourage people and just share what Christ has done. I think at the end of the day, we want to make it clear, we love Pastor John, and we appreciate him so much, but it really is only because of what Christ did in his life, right? And so, yeah, we'll see. Honestly, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. My team tells me to do these things, and I just do it, and I get in trouble sometimes because I'm bad at tech, and so I won't record things correctly, or I won't do things, but I think I'm getting a little bit better as every year goes by.
All right. Well, Gary, thank you so much. Gary Kim, president of 316 Publishing, of which Steadfast Bibles is one of the divisions. They publish the LSB, the Legacy Standard Bible. Folks, you need to read your Bible today, and preferably a very literal one, preferably the LSB. So, Gary, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to hearing these, seeing and hearing these testimonies. I love the tenderness with which you speak of Dr. MacArthur, having grown up at the church, and having, you know, and then staying connected with them through the years. Yours is a unique vantage point of the legacy of his life. And it is good to be, you know, here at the TMAI Mission Symposium, but then tomorrow through Friday, being at the Shepherd's Conference in Sun Valley at Grace Community Church and the Master's Seminary, because again, the title is The Life and Legacy of Dr. John MacArthur. So we'll look forward to that as well. But thanks for joining us today for Loving Truth. I hope this has helped encourage you to follow Jesus more closely and to cling to his word. All right, see you next time on the podcast.